How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
She said, those of us that are pro-life need to have our religious beliefs changed. I don't know about you, but my religious beliefs are not between me and Hillary Clinton.
I've seen G.I. Jane, and that's how I know that we're not the weaker vessel, because that lady was really tough. That is not the standard or the norm for any of us.
Because of the cross, there is intimacy between the believer and Christ, as rich as the intimacy between God the Father and God the Son.
He has not gone away. He is present for us in his body and blood, in holy baptism, in holy absolution, in the Bible, in the preaching of the church.
New dads might get some of the issues of prayer.
You hear it all the time. I think it was probably Rick Warren who really popularized this idea of results-oriented Christianity. He liked to talk about how he was addicted to changed lives. He wasn't just talking about his own life. He was talking about the lives of the people who attend his megachurch out there in California. He was addicted to change lives, to results in people's lives, a marked, measurable, tangible improvement in your life, in your family, in your attitude, in your work life, in your, whatever it may be, wherever you wanted improvement. Rick Warren and many like him promise that Christianity will deliver those results. Now, that's a good selling point, isn't it? A lot of people would like their lives to be just that little bit better than it is right now, just marginally better. It's good, but it could always be better. Is Christianity the tool for achieving that? Is that why Jesus died on the cross, to make your life just that little bit better than it already is? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 20th of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about a theology of glory versus a theology of the cross, and the theology of the cross in the Christian's spiritual life with Dr. Stephen Hine here in the first half hour of the program. The remainder of the program we are dedicating to a review of Joel Osteen's latest book. He's one of those theologians who promises you an improved life. His latest book is called You Can, You Will. This has got to be, what, his fifth, maybe fifth or sixth bestseller? The subtitle says it all, Eight Undeniable Qualities of a Winner. We'll be reviewing it with Pastor Jeremy Rohde in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. That's going to start here in about a half hour. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program live with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a theology of glory and a theology of the cross, Dr. Stephen Hine. He's a regular guest, director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Monument, Colorado. He spent 24 years as a theology professor at Concordia University, Chicago, and he's author of a chapter in a new book, Where Christ is Present. His chapter is titled, The Spiritual Life of the Christian, Cross and Glory. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you this afternoon.
What is the danger of a Christianity that is essentially oriented toward those tangible, measurable improvements in one's life, kind of results-oriented Christianity? What's the danger there?
Well, I think the danger there is to have expectations about what life in Christ is going to bring you, regardless of your dedication, regardless of your prayer life and everything else, simply do not mature. And they don't mature and they don't occur in your life because there are two realities that you have seen in your life that somehow seem to continue to remain being there. Number one is that you recognize, and perhaps it was why you became a Christian in the first place, and that is that your life is a mess because of the problem of sin. And the second thing that you have realized is that the world around you seems to have the same problem as well, and it impacts you. And the problem is that while it is true that Jesus has died to overcome all the problems of sin, he hasn't indicated at all that we are going to experience all of those things in this life. In this sense, to sketch out a life upon which we are able to find the problem of sin inside gone, and the problem of sin outside gone is when we enter into glory, and that's not going to occur till the better day that is coming.
So let's talk about in response to the deep disappointment, disillusionment that many experience after having kind of gone through the ringer of that results-oriented Christianity, where they say, I was promised this, but I didn't see the results in myself or in others. Is there an alternative? Many of them just say Christianity sold me a bill of goods, and I am poorer and wiser for the experience, and I want nothing more to do with the church. Is there a third way?
Yeah, I think the third way is to really meditate very seriously upon what Paul wishes to describe is what we can expect when we become a Christian in the 7th chapter of Romans. And that is that something happens when we become a Christian, namely that we enter into a conflict between the sinful qualities of our flesh, the world, and the devil himself only when we have become a Christian. Only when we have established a faith relationship in our baptism through our crucified Christ. In other words, that one of the hallmarks of becoming a Christian is spiritual warfare, as Paul describes there in Ephesians 6. And spiritual warfare doesn't occur with a non-Christian. It only comes about when you become a Christian. And so, in a sense, the Christian life, by its very character, invites and brings about greater conflict with the problem of sin from within and without that non-Christians ever face.
So that's a very different, well, for lack of a better term here, Dr. Hine, a very different selling point than is often presented in pop American Christianity. I mean, if they were to hang a sign outside that says Christianity is only the beginning of the conflict. Christianity puts you into a life and death struggle. Christianity will make your life more difficult. I don't imagine that their auditoriums would be as full as they are today.
And the books might not sell as well either, we might add. Because what we are hoping for and what we are longing for, and we want the reader to understand what God really does want to bring to us, is to have an experience in which the problems of sin and evil from within and without are gone. In other words, that when it comes to so many things that we experience in this life, it's what we no longer have to experience that really wants to focus upon the real victory of the cross. The problem is that when these things are promised to us, when in fact God is only going to bring them to us in that day of glory, it's cross life now, it's glory to come. And we certainly know in this past Easter season what an incredible victory Jesus experienced as he rose victorious from the grave and ascended into glory. And while those are certainly a part of the inheritance of what we have right now, Jesus has them now, we shall have them later. Right now, what characterizes the Christian life is a faith and trust in the promises of that better day that is coming. And the falsification comes when we hear lectures, sermons, and books that wish to promise that we can have some of those things in this life also if we will just pray better, invite Jesus to take more control of our life, or other Bible-based principles, that we can have some elements that really do belong to glory and we can have them now. And this is where I think Christians burn out, when they hope that somehow that can occur in their life, and it doesn't.
So describe, if you would, the theology of the cross. That's what we've really been discussing here in a roundabout way. But describe a Christian life, as you say, that is shaped and contoured in and around the cross, that is cross-shaped.
Probably the best way of looking at this in terms of cross life is to kind of summarize what Paul describes that cross life to be there in the sixth chapter of Romans. And that the first thing that involves in the Christian life, and it comes through baptism, that links us up to our Lord Jesus Christ at the point of his crucifixion in the cross, is that as we are linked to him, we have the same inheritance that he had. So if on the cross he dies to sin, then so do we. If on the cross he has the promise, therefore, of a newness of life, so do we. Well, right now, we have that situation where we have the first installment, which is the cross. We die to sin, and our life, though, is nevertheless there in Christ, whereby he gives to us his righteousness as we give to him our sins. So our sins are forgiven right now. But the glorious, victorious life that comes also from the cross, the Easter victory, is Christ's now, but it is ours as promise. So a part of the faith life in the cross of Christ is this constant dying to sin, raising up unto newness of life in Christ with a faith that clings to the forgiveness of sins and the hope of the better day that is coming. And upon that, this is becomes then the daily experience of that we die to sin and we live again each day in Christ and the hope of that better day that is coming, as we continue to have to battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil each day in our lives.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about a theology of glory and a theology of the cross. He is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, based in Monument, Colorado, author of a chapter in the new book, Where Christ is Present. His chapter's titled, The Spiritual Life of the Christian, Cross and Glory. We'll talk more about that right after this. Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Vision casting leaders in the church, differences between men and women, naturalism, biblical archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. We're talking about the Christian life and the theology of the cross. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. Dr. Hine, let's talk a little bit about something you mentioned before the break, and I think it's a key distinction. It's one that is abundant in Scripture, especially the writings of St. Paul, and that all these things that are that Christ has given and grants to us in this life before the resurrection, we have in full, but we have them in full only in Him, not in ourselves in the sense that it's fully realized in us, but insofar as we are in Him, but we have them only in Him. We have His death. We have His resurrection. We have victory over sin. But all these things are outside of us in Christ. Talk about that.
Yes, and therefore they are only held on to by faith alone. And that's kind of the distinction to be made. Usually, coming out of the Reformation, we always think of the idea of faith alone as somehow always speaking about apart from works. But here, as we want to sketch out the cross life of the Christian, we want to emphasize that we're also talking about a faith alone which receives and lives in all of the gifts and promises of the gospel, but we have them by faith alone apart from experience. That is, that the daily living of the believer, we move back and forth, as it were, on the one hand, between receiving and basking in the gifts that are given to us at the gospel, every one of them by faith alone, only then to experience so often the temporal trials and tribulations that come from the fact that we are still sinners living in a sin-filled world. And the important thing is to understand that neither of these cancel the other out. Faith doesn't cancel out our experiences of fallenness in this world, and the fallenness in this world does not cancel out any of the gifts of the gospel. But it's faith alone in this life, and glory is when faith will be no more, and we have simply the same gifts, but then we have them by experience alone.
You speak in your essay about paradox and about tension. Why are those things so important for a Christian to understand and in some sense to embrace?
They're important to understand because they're not contradictions. In other words, if we should find that our experience of our sin seems to run against the saintliness of our status, which we have in Christ, we may be tempted to think that there is a paradox there and one needs to be resolved into the other. And yet neither is to give way to the other in this life, whether it's faith over against experience or whether it's law or gospel or sin or grace or any of these other paradoxical realities that characterize the Christian life. The presence of that one which seems to be in tension is not to call into question. In other words, the experience of our sinfulness is not to call into question our saintly status. And the cross is not in any way that we have to bear in this life, is not to call into question God's favor of us, or for that matter, that day of glory is truly coming for us. So we need to hold on to both of them and not let either call the other in question.
Well, then, this sounds like something that takes some getting used to. We think that the life of tension, the tension exists for the unbeliever. Are you saying that the real spiritual tension in this world is only experienced by the believer in Jesus Christ?
Exactly. That is exactly correct. When we think of where the unbeliever is, head, hand, and heart are totally and completely taken over into the bondage of sin. And there is no element within the Christian from within and without that militates against that. It is only when we have been splashed with grace and brought to faith and become a new creation in Christ that all of a sudden the forces of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel, and the new creation that the Christian has become form a conflict with those realities from within and without of fallenness, which still remain for the Christian, but now are in tension, and indeed more in tension, they're in conflict.
You even talk about a holy anguish. What are you describing, Dr. Hine?
Well, and that's kind of a terminology that Luther uses, this kind of a holy anguish, and that is that it's an experience that we have through the tribulations that we experience in normal Christian life. And it is the fact that, that when we experience life, and when we experience it from the law within, which hammers us continually, that we are not living the life that God created us to be and to live and to have. And when we recognize also the powers of darkness that afflict us with the crosses that we must bear in life, that those things can bring about to us a sense of tremendous anguish. Sometimes we can feel somewhat even abandoned by God, even though He has not abandoned us. But the point is that those experiences of sin within and without produce an anguish in us. And that anguish is something that God does not want for us to call into question whether or not we're real Christians and whether or not He is pleased with us through Christ. That anguish, rather, is to produce a tremendous appetite that continually has us running to the font of grace to feed on the gospel, whereby the peace that passes all of that understanding can be a fruit of the Spirit that we take in as we continually feed again and again on the riches of the gospel. So the riches of the gospel bring us a peace that passes our understanding and our experiences of sin within and without, but it does not replace them.
This means that the spiritual life of the Christian is going to not only have a different tenor to it, it's not this kind of constantly moving from victory to victory, from a higher place to higher place, obviously. Speak to that if you would. But also, the spiritual life is quite earthly for the Christian living under the cross. Talk about both of those things.
Luther put it this way: we're on a road from baptism to glory. God is going to take us to glory in the promises of the gospel and in the power and working that He has in our lives by the Spirit through the Word. But we are going to make progress by an experience of always, in a sense, starting over anew. I like to use the illustration of the experience of moving forward in our Christian life to glory as something similar to moving forward in a sailing vessel, where so often what you must do is not put the bow in the direction in which you want to end up, but yet you have to go from one side to another side, tacking back and forth. And even though you have the experience that all you're doing is going sideways back and forth, you really are making progress. And in the Christian life, God means us to tack, as it were, back and forth between two sets of realities. One which is elucidated by His law, which continues to amplify and magnify our problem of sin that we have from within and without, which of course produces that sense of holy anguish that sends us back in the opposite direction to the gospel. And its rich promises of grace and forgiveness and the support and the favor of God, only once again to send us back again to the law, from law to gospel, from repentance to faith, from experience to the treasures of the gospel. Tacking back and forth between those is this sense of starting over again, dying and rising again, life and death in relationship to sin. We make progress of moving forward, and that's how God wants to do it with us, so that the experiences of this duality and this tension do not increase as we get closer, do not decrease as we get closer to glory. They actually increase.
In that vein, Ken listens in Florida. He writes this: when I focus on God's law and gospel, I avoid falling into a theology of glory. However, when my eyes wander to the world, there's always someone who seems to be pulling off the victorious Christian life, and the thought that someone out there is doing it makes me want to try harder to achieve that success, but it always ends up in despair. Thank you for reminding us to focus on God's word for understanding this life. Your thoughts there on Ken's comment.
I would say that Ken has captured everything that we are trying to say here. We should at all love to have the presence and afflictions of sin from within and without gone in 30 seconds. We should also like to have those things lessened and alleviated at any time that we could. The point is that those particular issues and realities are all in God's hands. They are not in ours. When we say that God is the author of our salvation, we mean to say he does it all. And it is the temptations of the devil, it seems to me, which wants to indicate that if we will just shoulder some of that burden ourselves, if we can just give ourselves some kind of a role of something that we can do, we, by our own doing, can pull down some of those benefits of glory ourselves. And even though that is incredibly tempting, we need to resist and recognize that that just isn't the case. And I think we can use our Lord Jesus as an example. It was cross before glory for him, and that he is not going to receive that glory until the resurrected new life and ascension that he received. And as that was true for him, it's going to be true for us. Easter is past tense for Jesus. It's still present for us. The Christian life right now is still lived with the crucified Christ, where we are, as it were, in the tomb of Jesus still, awaiting our Easter triumph. And we are not going to be able to pull any of that triumph into our life while we are still there. We have to await God's time for that to bring us to glory.
Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Monument, Colorado. He spent 24 years as a professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, and he's author of a chapter in the new book, Where Christ is Present. His chapter is aptly titled, The Spiritual Life of the Christian, Cross and Glory. You'll find out more about this new book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Hine, thank you very much.
Thank you much, Todd. Good to be with you.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject, apropos of our recent conversation here, of Joel Osteen's latest best-selling book. It's called, you guessed it, You Can, You Will. You are the subject of the verbs, and the subtitle is... Well, the subtitle tells us where Joel's headed. He says, 8 undeniable qualities of a winner. He says he's created 8 different steps that you can follow to win in everyday life. You can and you will, he says. We'll see how Pastor Jeremy Rohde, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, responds as we review Joel Osteen's new book, You Can, You Will, for the next 90 minutes of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at Issues ETC. Stay tuned.
Today, the biblical account of creation is under attack in the popular media, in our schools, and even many churches and seminaries.
Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We are told that the evidence for evolution is so compelling that the church and its clergy and teachers must accept evolution or be dismissed as fools. But I will show that the scientific case for evolution is not compelling, and that evolution is incompatible with biblical Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You can hear and meet Dr. David Menton making the case for creation Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.